a certain way. And when we're conditioned to see it a certain way, we just look at it and we instantly jump to the conclusion that we have been prepared to jump to.
When someone asks us if we see the butterfly, we want to tell them, yes, we see the butterfly. We don't want to appear unintelligent.
I want to continue to focus on verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. No more death. Which is interesting. Because how do you get rid of death? The last enemy that shall be defeated is death. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And you can think about it. If you look at death from my perspective, which I think is the biblical perspective, everyone who is wicked is going to be put to death. They're all going to die. And then no more dying. No more people dying. The dying is over. No more death. But also, of course, there's a sense in which, well, they stay dead, you know. And so you could say, well, there's death. They're still dead. There's death. Okay. But let's look at the other perspective, the more traditional Catholic. And I'll call it traditional Catholic because that's what it really is. The Catholic perspective, which is that death is not the cessation of consciousness, but rather death is the continuing of consciousness, but suffering eternal torture, basically. They say death is not the cessation of consciousness. You continue because you have an immortal soul, and that their idea of death basically entails, well, you don't suffer death like you might think death is. Like when you look at a dead animal, you say, wow, that's what death is. No. It's actually, you're alive, spiritually. You're spiritually dead, but you're alive in some sense. How can you be alive without a spirit? Well, you can be in a figurative death, because they say spiritually dead, but that doesn't make sense because the spirit is what gives life. And if you're alive, you have a spirit. But there is a sense of figurative death. Okay, so this is a figurative death. So they would say spiritually dead, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
The idea of spiritual death is something coined by Bible teachers. The Bible doesn't use that terminology. It talks about being dead in sins. But it's not really spiritually dead, though that's how they label it. It is figuratively. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so the faith without works is dead. The spirit is life. A dead spirit is dead. If you have any form of life, it becomes difficult because you don't have a set definition of what words really mean. I think that the things we see, in the things we see in creation, God's eternal powers may manifest. And death appears to us as it appears to us so that we could know what death is.
So they're spiritually or figuratively dead, but they're actually alive.
You know, they're moving, they're grooving, they're feeling pain, they're experiencing their conscience. They know who they are. They know what they've done.
And they're experiencing this eternal state of death where they are tormented over and over again. In that state, death, there you could never say there's no more death, because that is a continual state of death. Now, you could say, well, for the redeemed, you know, there's no more death. Well, I suppose. But as I recall, when the lake of fire, when all the wicked were thrown into it, it said death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And it sort of indicates a cessation of all that. So I just think that what they talk about is a fate worse than death, something much more deep and dark than any kind of death that I ever see described in the scriptures. It was in that very day their thoughts perish, the dead know not anything. These are quotes from the Old Testament, from Ecclesiastes, from the Psalms, and I did a work on that. But for death to end, for there to be no more death, It has to stop. You can't have, if death is a continual state of unrest, then, you know, it never, it's just going to go on. No more sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Except, of course, for all those people, right, in the, who went the broad way. Because the majority of people who have ever lived are not going to inherit eternal life. Oops, well, they're going to be actually inherit eternal life, but they're going to wish they didn't. That's according to their doctrine. They're going to wish they could die. Then those days shall men seek death, and it shall flee from them. Oh, wait, wait, that was actually during the tribulation. But they would probably think same principle. They suffer a fate worse than death. They wish they could die. They cannot. But that's not how the scripture speaks. We inherit eternal life. God hath brought life and immortality to light through Jesus Christ, through the gospel. God only is immortal. And so for man to obtain immortality, we must go through Christ. You do not have an immortal soul, but they believe you do. And therefore, they will continue in sorrow and crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. And pain, of course, will continue forever and ever. Just for them. For the former things are passed away. This whole verse really just, it makes it very difficult for me to say that you would go back to chapter 20 and say, okay, we're going to, now it says the devil here will be tormented forever and ever. Now, the rest of the dead, when they're raised, it doesn't even mention torment, just only when the devil. And to go back and after looking at this verse and say, okay, we're going to apply the torment that was applied only to the devil to everyone. We're going to apply it to everyone. And why? Because Jesus said, the worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And now, men interpret that to mean the worm is their soul.
So we're going to take all the ideas about how man can be cruel to man, and we're going to apply that here, and create a eternal chamber of horrors, which we will presume continues on and on forever, based on just a few scattered facts.
And that doesn't make any sense to me. As he was taught, the worms are what eat carcasses.
The idea that the worms do not die and the fire is not quenched is a portrait of complete destruction. Yeah, there's going to be nothing left. That's the idea. Nothing but worms. The worms never die. But they are most certainly dead.
God breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. That is how men are made. And